Okay, hi Supernaturals. It is your host, Beverly Hines, founder of Hair Scripts, the platform connecting dermatologists and trichologists to women like you and I who have experienced varying levels of hair loss from moderate, mild to severe. And we connect you to these experts who can really help us with finding a solution, finally. And I'm really, really excited about my guest today. She is trichologist Misty Barnes, and she is the CEO and founder of Celestrious, okay? Now, before I go into what that is, I just want for Misty to just give us a quick synopsis about who she is, how did she get into trichology, what's her work as far as hair loss, and then let's go right into Celestrious, because this is going to be all about Celestrious today, guys. Wow. So, Misty, welcome to Supernaturals Podcast. Introduce yourself.
Thank you. Hello, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Beverly. My name is Misty Barnes. I am a trichologist, also an esthetician, collagen restoration therapist, and a medical micropigmentation artist. How I ended up on the hair side was I started my career in aesthetics in post-wound care, so treating people that had burns, third-degree burns, as well as post-surgical scarring. And so I was trained by one of the developers of microneedling I didn't work at the Grossman Burn Center, but that's where she had developed the technique. And I started using the technique on seeing patients that had, like I said, third degree burns. And I started drawing some conclusions about the way the collagen matrix heals and how we could use the needling device that we use, which is not an off-the-shelf pen. I just want to clarify that, how it was to be used to help heal and trigger the wound growth response and actually regenerate skin. So I began working for a cosmetic surgeon. While I was there, I started developing some of my own protocols utilizing peptides. And then I started seeing patients that had really severe acne scar, really deep pitted scars, and then post-surgery. I was also at that time doing medical micropigmentation, which is where we use, you know, pigment to redesign an areola for a woman that's had breast cancer, which was incredibly rewarding. And again, I started seeing all types of patients, and a lot of the women would come in with hair loss issues. And I just, you know, I can't leave a sleeping dog. So they asked me what I should do. And I said, well, I guess I've got to figure something out for them. So I started putting together GHK peptides, which are known for their wound healing factors. And then I just started building upon that. Eventually, I was asked to participate in some clinical trials using bone marrow aspirate for hair loss. And the results of my treatments were better than all of the medical doctors. The company came to me and said, we'd like to use your before and after pictures and not pay you. And I said, well, gosh, that's a really nice thing to say, but what about payment? And they didn't seem to want to do that. So it just kind of led me down this path of going, I've got something here. How do I develop it? I continued down the path of using proteins and growth factors that were bone aspirate, but I began getting feedback from some of my patients that bone marrow had some questions about using, something human derived, right? So eventually I hired a biochemist to work with me, and together we developed a blend that comes from plants. They're plant derived. It's called transgenic. So they come from the plant, but they are targeting specific aspects of the follicle and the dermal papilla layer. And so these are 9 peptides that are developed to target hair loss and the causes of the hair loss. So eventually all this time for the last 4 years, I've just been developing what I think a protocol is that will work for whether it's AGA, traction alopecia, scarring alopecia, hormone-related hair loss, and developed what's called now Celestrious. It includes an in-office treatment that a patient comes in for once a month. And then I also developed a home kit because during my course of study, while I was getting my trichology license, I discovered that we cannot just expect and hope for the best when it comes to hair loss. It is a symptom. It is not a diagnosis. And so we need some kind of ATP energy angiogenesis to be continually created throughout the process. So that led me to developing a home kit, and the home kit goes along with the in-office treatment. And so that's kind of how it started. It was more of a, how do I help people? How do I make things better? And how do I do it in a way that's non-invasive, that doesn't involve drugs, surgery, or anything chemically toxic? So that's how Celestrious came about. I also look at things like diet, lifestyle, the microbiome, what's happening on the inside of the person. So it's not just a buy this product, buy the product, see you later. I'm going to really engage with my patients and spend time getting them to understand the root causes of what's happening with their bodies and getting them to a healthier state.
So Misty, I just want to make sure that you can hear me because I seem to have a little bit of mic issues. I feel like I can't really hear you. I just want to make sure that you can hear me.
I hear bits and pieces of you.
Okay, can you hear?
I heard the first part of that sentence.
But you can hear me now.
Now I heard that.
Okay. Perfect. So as a founder, I am really excited to talk to you about Celestrious because, you know, we look for problems in whatever industry that we're in, the market that we're in. And what's really impressive about the story was not accidental, it was almost accidental, right? You kind of stumbled upon this thing that was really working for your patients in the clinicals. And then you developed or further developed that outside of the clinical clinical realm, for the lack of a better term. And that's plant-based because your patients weren't really having great experiences with using with the bone marrow, something that was derived from bone marrow. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things, I have so many questions. Let's talk about hair loss initially, right? And let's talk about the type of treatments that a dermatologist or a trichologist would usually recommend for mm-hmm. hair loss and mm-hmm. what missed from those.
So the common treatments for hair loss include, surgery. So there's two types of surgery. There's follicular unit extraction, which is where they take the follicle from one part of the head and then place it in the follicle of where the hair loss is. So that's called FUE, and that's generally done with a machine called the Neograft. Then there's FUT, which is follicular unit transplant, which is the more traditional strip method that used to be very popular. And that's where they take a strip of skin, they take the donor skin, which is in the back of the head, and they basically remove the hair from there and place it in wherever the hair loss is. So that's one and two. There's also medication. There is Rogaine, also known as minoxidil. That is generally a topical. It can also be given orally. There are finasteride, dutasteride, right. Spironolactone, all of the, there's a lot of allopathic systemic oral medications. Some are approved by the FDA, some aren't, but those are generally where a dermatologist will go. As of the last 5 to 6 years, dermatologists are recommending PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma, which is where we centrifuge the blood, basically take out the plasma, re-inject the plasma into the site where the hair loss is, and hope for those growth factors to basically re-trigger the hair loss. Then there's exosomes, which is another more advanced method where we're taking the growth factors themselves and utilizing those. They're coming from some kind of biologic, which could be amniotic tissue, could be bone marrow, could be adipose tissue. I actually was just on a panel with the developer of one of the exosome therapies. So a lot of doctors are using combinations of these treatments. So they'll put someone on finasteride and they'll also recommend perhaps a surgery if they're a surgeon, and then they'll try PRP. Where then there's also something called JAK inhibitors, which is another one. We're in the potential timing where cloning may happen. They're actually doing a lot of work, especially in the UK, on cloning. So where I diverge, I don't want to step on your next question, but I diverge from those methods. I can explain to you why, but for the most part, a dermatologist approach is going to be what is the FDA approved, what has been consistently used, and they're generally going to go for an allopathic versus a preventative solution, the tried and true. And I come in from a different, perspective. Trichologists who study the anatomy and physiology of hair, trichologists are going to go after things more like, you know, maybe steroids, offering same allopathic options, or they'll obviously try to do blood tests and see what's underlying. But trichology is a little more limited, and it's a lot more limited in its scope.
Okay, so we are having some technical issues.
Yeah. Okay, so we are having some technical issues.
Okay. You can absolutely hear me, right, Misty?
I can now.
Perfect. Okay. And what you said about dermatology, because I did hear everything that you said. What you said about dermatology is usually they're going to treat the issue, right?
Yes.
And you kind of take more of a prophylactic or a preventative approach. So tell me how, number one, who qualifies for Celestrious, number one, right? Mm-hmm. And then two, how can they use it as preventative maintenance and then as maintenance therapy after post-treatment?
Okay, great. So here's the truth of the matter. If I can help anyone, I will. That's always been my goal. People who are undergoing hair loss, it's very traumatic. It's very emotional. And I think I really like helping patients that are in that situation. And so I turn no one away unless I think I cannot help them.
Okay.
I have treated patients with advanced Hashimoto's, with HIV, with CCRA, AGA, parasites. I'm not saying I can take all those people on. I'm just saying my goal is to see as many people as we can treat. How can we help them? Typically, AGA males and females, anyone with hormone-related or thyroid-related conditions can do the treatment.
Okay.
It's safe for anyone with any condition. I've even had patients that were undergoing chemo for blood cancer, although the caveat is I never do this without an oncologist's approval.
Okay.
The reality is whenever anyone has hair loss, it's a symptom of something else. So right. What we want to do is dig deeper. What I find sometimes in traditional allopathic medicine is they don't have the time to dig deeper. That's all I want to do is dig deeper and find out. Right. So what I do with everyone is we try to look at the source, see if there are any labs, what they've been diagnosed with, what medications they're on. A lot of times a medication is the cause. I have women all the time that have been diagnosed birth control that is the absolute cause for why their progesterone, estrogen levels, and testosterone levels are uneven. And that's what's causing the hair loss. It's a very complex problem. Each person is different. But what I will say is that if I cannot treat someone, I will tell them. I will say I cannot help you. However, I want to try to help as many people as possible. And I've treated people that have run the gamut. I've treated over close to 700 people with this treatment.
Wow.
Yeah, we're in the 90 percentile.
I was about to ask, what's your effective rate? 90 percentile.
And when I say, I kind of want to step back a little bit so that you understand where we're kind of coming from. This is I consider it regenerative in that what I'm doing is I'm looking at the dysfunction within the follicle base. And do I have to know the exact reason that caused it? No, I don't, but I want to just because I'm a nosy person and I got to know everything. But the truth is, I don't have to know because my approach is that I'm throwing everything at it, right? Lifestyle, stressors, diet's incredibly important. What's happening with the testosterone estrogen balance, what's happening with the thyroid and the endocrine system, the microbiome. I look at everything and we can tweak something here and there with everyone, right? So everyone can do a little better, but not everybody's going to.
Right.
So it's designed to help the people that are compliant, they're going to get better results. But the people that aren't as compliant, they're still going to get results. So when I say 90 percentile, I mean we get regrowth.
Okay.
I differ from
me really quickly because everyone is different about what they consider regrowth.
Yes. Regrowth is vellus hair, not lanugo baby hair that falls out when you do Latisse and you stop taking it, those little hairs fall out. No, this isn't that. Yeah, this is permanent hair. So I'm just going to kind of go a little bit into the why I believe what I believe. So based upon epigenetics, which tells us that we may be predetermined for a condition. However, until we trigger the certain behaviors, we're not going to trigger that condition. Case in point, many people have the cancer gene. We all have some cancerous component to our body, right? Until we start triggering those. And the way that we trigger those is not as clear, but the Human Genome Project, which was something that was designed to see what everyone's DNA, how clusters of DNA worked and how they impacted our system. What we discovered is that we can turn genes on and off with our behavior. So that's the approach I'm taking. And the approach that I'm taking says that there's an inflammation in the body somewhere.
Right.
There's some systemic problem that must be addressed no matter how many pills you throw at it, no matter how many PRP sessions, exosomes, how many therapies you have. If you don't deal with the underlying condition, which generally comes from some kind of inflammation, some kind of calcification and fibrosis on the scalp, and yes, DHT, but I believe that DHT is massively overdiagnosed, and the causes of the DHT come from inflammatory problems within the body in males and females. And so success is getting that follicle back into a state of functioning. So there are some doctors that will tell you if that follicle has been in a state of latency or in the telogen phase and has not been able to come back into functioning for 5 to 10 years, it's done. It's dead. I don't believe that.
Wow.
Right. I think we're at a place where years ago, we used to think once a brain cell was damaged or dead, it was done. Once a nerve cell was damaged or done, it was dead. That's where we are with hair. So many doctors, I mean, they call me every day. They're calling me and saying, PRP is not working. Exosomes aren't working. What are you doing? And I'm telling them, I'm looking at the diet. I'm looking at the inflammatory process that's occurring internally. I'm looking at microbiome, and I'm also treating it topically. If my problem's up here, and I'm taking care of the inside with my diet and dealing with microbiome supplementation, and it's not this big, I'm not selling a bunch of supplements. That's not my thing.
Right.
If I'm dealing with the inside, right, and then I'm treating the problem topically, which is the dermal papilla layer, which is cell differentiation, proliferation, I'm targeting DHT, the alpha 5, which is the cause of the DHT.
Right.
That's a systemic whole body approach. Whereas if I just give you a pill and I don't know, you're smoking pot every day. Kids come in all the time and I'm like, stop inhaling. You're
right.
Smoking THC, that is killing your follicles. They don't want to believe it. And then they
start. Oh, that is something new.
Every day, 20-year-olds are coming in and I'm saying, all right, let's talk about this. How much weed are you smoking? And they're like,
what? Weed can kill your hair follicles.
Yes.
Wow.
I have a YouTube video about this very thing. What happens over time, and I'll just go off. So you keep asking me questions and I'll go to a different direction. But the thing about marijuana and in California, I'm in California, it's legal. So there's a lot of kids that are smoking it. And what they don't recognize is that one, an inhalant obviously affects our oxygen levels. Oxygen loss is a really critical aspect to hair growth. Mm-hmm. We undergo anesthesia, we lose hair because we've suffered a deficiency in oxygen in the brain. The other thing is that over time, we have exocannabinoids and cannabinoids receptors. And once they have been over time, what will happen is basically the body, a male body will become more estrogenic because it loses, it starts relying on cortisol. All bodies will eventually start relying more on cortisol. And the irony is people smoke pot to calm down, but over time, right. It does the exact opposite. It becomes like it's not the antidote. So, I mean, there's so many causes, but I try to look at each person as a person and go, what is happening with you? Is yours more related to thyroid? Is yours related to just really diet? So each person's different. There's no one size fits all. And that's why I do what I do, because I really do an assessment of the person and try to get them on a good path. So going back to finishing up that thought about the belief that, are there some follicles that will not come back? Absolutely.
Okay.
Why do I stop trying if I don't know? Mm-hmm. Why do I assume it's dead and it can't come back? I mean, this is research and development 101. We keep trying. Right. So I've had patients in their 70s that have had 4 or 5 surgeries. And with the surgery, they're very complicated because they have a lot of fibrosis on their scalp, a lot of scar tissue. And so when I have that happen, you know, it's going to take more sessions. But my goal is that by triggering the follicle at the base of where the follicle is, using a version of microneedling, where we're, one, triggering the wound growth response and causing collagen, fibroblasts, new vesicles to form. That's the first part of it. But also the body is then able to absorb the peptides. And those are the peptides that I discussed that are all targeting those main causes of the hair loss.
Right.
So unsuccess, in my opinion, is no growth. I've never had anybody get absolutely no growth, but I'm happy when I can have someone walk away with 30 to 50% regrowth. And that does happen. Yeah, it does. Yeah. And the more they can be compliant, and when I say compliant, it's like all those things we talked about. I put them on a protocol where, you know, they're taking, you know, omegas, they're taking D3, it's really important, K1 and A, and they're doing a probiotic. And then if they're inflamed, a lot of times I'll see people with a lot of inflammatory issues on their scalp, dermatitis, mm-hmm. and they've been to dermatologist after dermatologist and no one's told them, you may take Rogaine, but if we're not dealing with the core problem, which is your dermatitis, we're not solving the problem. So I'm the problem solver, I guess. And So yes, that's what I consider success. And it's a combination of the in-office treatment and the home protocol.
And there's this, I like to repeat certain things because I like to kind of break it down depending on who you're watching. But so number one, the goal of Celestrious is to reactivate any latent follicles, right? Or in some cases, you're saying that even dead follicles, follicles that people may have said were dead, you would try or never. And then for you, as far as your system, it's an overall treatment system that consists of you actually digging deeper to find out what the actual cause of the hair loss is, because the hair loss within itself is just the symptom, which we always preach about here. And then you put them on kind of like a regimen, right, that they would have to be compliant with. And then they have the treatment in office, and then there's the maintenance therapy, which are topical treatments that you send them home with, right?
Exactly.
So my question to you is, how many treatments of Celestrious do someone need?
Okay. So depending on the person, obviously, this is so.
I'm sorry?
So depending on the person, you know, and what the type of hair loss is. So if someone's older and it's been going on for 15 years, we've got a more complicated case.
Okay, I guess we're getting somewhat old again.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I missed that, but depending on how much loss they've had, how long they've had it, it does indicate something. If I were to take an average of the patients that I see, I would say the average patient needs between 6 and 8 treatments over 6 and 8 months. Anyone who's promising you hair in a couple of months.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me now? Okay. So did you get all that about? Did you get all that? Okay. So hair grows at 1.25 centimeters a month. That's very little. If it's a dysfunctional follicle, if there's something going on with the body like inflammation or some kind of fibrosis on the scalp itself, it's going to take a little bit longer. But the average person needs between 6 and 8. The treatment in my office takes about an hour. And then I put them on a home routine and I'll give them as much as they want. Do you know what I mean? If I have someone who's like, yeah, let's do it all. I'm going to clear out my shelf and I want to, I'll give them everything. If they say to me, look, it's enough just to show up and do what you tell me and to take some supplements, and you know, then we're fine with that. Yeah. We take people where they are. However, the home kit is a version of what I'm doing in the office at the consumer level. What I'm doing with the needling and the peptides is I'm creating what's called short-term acute inflammation. The body's not designed to do that on a consistent basis. Then we have disease, right? So what we do, the kit that it's at home is meant to mimic what I'm doing in the office on a shorter term, much smaller scale. So the home kit contains the consumer version of some peptides, a derma stamp, a conditioner, and a scalp replenisher. And so it's designed to be a system. They do it every other night. It takes about 10 minutes. If you want to learn more, I have a bunch of videos on how it works, but it takes 5 to 10 minutes, a couple nights a week. The reason that I do it is I explain to everyone it's like exercise. You don't hire a trainer and then dump them, right? 6 months later. This is a chronic, complicated condition that's exacerbated by stressors, physiological and psychological.
Yeah.
You are going to need to do some kind of maintenance. My goal is to keep maintenance. In my opinion, I want to keep people safer. I want to keep them off of options that have potential for sexual dysfunction or potential for breast cancer. I want to go with the least invasive, least toxic option.
Okay.
And this is what we have so far. So that's the protocol generally. And then I give them sheets and videos so they know what they're doing. But yeah, so that's the consumer side, and it's a pretty easy path. And then once they start seeing results, they're usually a lot more compliant.
Okay. Right. I love. I absolutely love this. I love this because I personally, PRP does hurt. It's very painful. So I personally, you know, have to have something to numb it. And then they say that the numbing actually interferes with the efficaciousness of the PRP. So it seems like you can't win. But we are having some technical issues. So I'm gonna bring it to a close, but I do wanna ask two questions. Number one, is this something that you've licensed to other trichologists or other practices? So if we're anywhere in the country, we can ask for Celestrius, or do we have to come directly to you?
No, that's a great question. Just a comment on the PRP. Yes, I use just a 5% lidocaine. The pain level, if you want to look up Celestrius, I have dozens of testimonials of patients right after a treatment. The pain level of what I'm doing is from a 1 to 10, the highest it gets is a 3 or a 4. I see patients every day that have done PRP and either haven't succeeded or have had the pain be too great. The reason that I developed this is because I wanted everybody to be able to receive it at a price that's reasonable. Exosomes are very expensive. Surgery is obviously very expensive and complicated. PRP is not inexpensive, and it's also
Misty, can you hear me? Is there a lag? Okay, so I think there's a lag. Okay. So there's a lag. So I'm going to end the broadcast only because of technical difficulties. I want to thank Misty so much for joining us on the Supernaturals podcast. Everything that she stated, we're going to link down below, or you're going to it pretty much on our Instagram page, etc. The bottom line is Celestrius is a non-invasive.
I don't know if we want to reschedule this or
treatment plant-based for those of you who don't want anything that was tested on animals or using any type of animal product by product, etc. Byproduct. This is a real.
What a waste of my time. Jeez.
I just think it's all done. Thank you.
10:30, you'll be home by 11:30. I don't know how long this first thing is.